Tonight I'd like to talk about that, taking up the cross and following Christ. I'll begin in Mark 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." See, his disciples were concerned about their follower, Christ, his life, and how they thought it was their duty to protect him, but their actual duty was to follow him and his example. Verse 34, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So we can see here what Christ tells us about following, taking up the cross and following him. In verse 34, when Jesus says, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." This is the book of Mark, whose original audience was addressed to the Romans. Now, the Romans knew what taking up the cross meant. It was a form of execution for criminals. And for the prisoner to take up his own cross and drag it to the point of the crucifixion site, it was a sign of submittance to Roman law. So what's important for us to recognize is that Christ doesn't ask us to seek pain needlessly, but rather to have the courage to make a sacrifice, make self-sacrifices for ourselves to be righteous, to follow righteousness, and to have courage when the work might be hard and the future looks bleak. Verse 35, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." This life is not everything. It's temporary and should not be our main focus. We should be willing to even part with it when the time comes, should we be persecuted for righteousness' sake and speaking the truth of salvation. And we might be met with objection, ridicule, and even persecution, be taken prisoner, be put in prison. Our life, our physical life, shouldn't be of importance. We recognize that when we were baptized and died with Christ. And Christ also lets us know that giving up your life is the greatest form of love. It's a good sacrifice. It's mentioned in John 15, verse 13, where Jesus says, "Greater love hath no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." So it is indeed a sacrifice. And what does it mean? What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice means to give up something that is of great value to you for something that you find greater, a lot like discipline. And that's what we do as Christians. is make constant daily sacrifices in any way, shape, or form. These can be in the form of our time, our energy, sparing food and drink to others. It's when we, with something that's of great value to us, we're not so hard to give up for the sake of others. Verse 36 and 37. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We see here that Jesus is saying that earthly things are, they can't compare to our eternal souls. There's nothing worth, there's nothing material that we can trade for it. It can't compare. So we shouldn't concern ourselves with seeking after wealth, material things, multiple sex partners, success in whatever business or job you have. These things are not the end-all be-all. And verse 38, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. What Jesus is illustrating here is that true, we could avoid shame in this life by siding with disbelievers and naysayers to the gospel of salvation and live in their sinful ways. We could avoid objection and shame from that, but we would also be guaranteeing an eternal shame in Hades and hell, where we would be rightfully put if we denied Christ. And just the opposite, if we accept Jesus and follow in his way, we can guarantee for ourselves that Jesus would accept us, for God is merciful and just to forgive us of our sins if we follow him.